You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to episode 3 of Take a Bow. I'm Eli.
And I'm Sid.
And today we have High School Musical, the musical, the series, Joey Serafini.
Dude.
Yeah, I mean, this interview is super special to me because Joey was literally the first person that I looked up to and was able to help me, just guide me to do what I wanted to do as far as musical theater and stuff like that. And he really helped me get to where I needed to be in Pittsburgh to then take it to the next level and the next level and stuff like that. So just checking in with him and seeing that he's doing well, and now that he's in this High School Musical, I could not be happier for him.
Oh, he was like a mentor to you, or like a big brother.
Yeah, literally. I mean, he literally was my big brother for several years. But yeah, it's awesome. So I'm very excited for you guys to listen to this one.
He's the best. He is so kind, so well-spoken. We can't wait. All right, let's turn it over to Joey.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
What's up, everybody? Today we have a very special guest. This is someone who's very dear to me. He was my first ever friend in the entertainment business, and he was the first actor I ever looked up to. So we are so honored to have him on today. This is Joey Serafini.
Woo-hoo! Hello.
Yes.
Hello. It's so great to be here.
How
Thank you for coming on.
I'm well. I'm quarantining in LA right now. As we are on break from production on season 2 of High School Musical, the musical, the series.
Nice. My goodness.
And, yeah, and then I'll just waiting on the call back.
So exciting.
100%.
Okay, so now that he brought it up, you may know that Joey is known for his role as Seb and kind of Sharpay in High School Musical, the musical, the series. But before that, he and I have been friends since I was about 6 and he was about like 11, I believe. And we did a production in Pittsburgh together, well, multiple, and have been friends ever since. So before we get into the High School Musicals business, tell me all about life before High School Musical in Pittsburgh.
Okay, so I'll give you like the full life story in like the shortest way that I possibly can. But basically, grew interest in theater like from the age of like 5, is as early as I can remember, like loving theater from watching my siblings do it in like the CLO summer camps in Pittsburgh. And then I saw my first professional production of Annie at the Benedum. At Pittsburgh CLO, my sister was one of the like extra orphans. She didn't have like any lines or anything. She was just like on stage. And from that moment on, I kind of just fell in love with it. And I did my first professional production of Christmas Carol as Tiny Tim when I was 7. And then from then on, performed professionally just in Pittsburgh. And then in high school, decided that I wanted to pursue it as a career. auditioned for a bunch of schools, got into Michigan, attended Michigan, and now I'm here. Now I'm on a show.
That's amazing.
So you're in your, or, you know, before quarantine, but you're in your senior year at University of Michigan, right?
Yes.
And
but I finished my degree requirements before, like a semester early, basically. So I took off this semester.
Yeah, were gonna ask you that. We weren't sure if you were filming while going to Michigan or like how that worked.
Well, we can get into that. I did that last season because I was just recurring, so I was going back and forth between Salt Lake City, where we film, and Michigan. And then this year, I actually, as I was brought on as a series regular,
congrats,
I moved
by
to
the
Salt.
Way.
Thank you.
It's
thank
so
you.
Amazing.
Finished my year, my school, and then I moved to Salt Lake City the next month, and we started working on season two, and then now we're here.
So you guys started season two and then had a pause?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And we were in such a good groove, too, and hopefully we'll just hop right back into that groove, but it's just on pause.
For
that's
sure.
Okay.
How, I don't know if I can ask this, but like how far, like did you just start or were you like kind of in the middle of it?
We had just finished our first two episodes and then we were starting on the next two and then we got shut down.
Wow.
That's
so
it
was
touch with anyone?
Pretty early. Oh yeah. We actually have cast Zoom meetings weekly. With our showrunner, Tim Federle, who is also a Broadway veteran.
Yay, Tim Federle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we all know Tim.
Yes.
Hi, Tim, if you're
him.
Listening.
Hi.
He's the best. Also from Pittsburgh, Eli.
Right. So talk to us a little bit about your audition process for High School Musical while also at Michigan.
Yeah. So it was my junior year. This was, I guess, 2018, around October, November. I was asked to send in a self-tape for EJ, literally over an Instagram direct message.
That's amazing.
So I sent one in and never heard anything, kind of forgot about it. And then in February of 2019, so like the same school year, I got an email in my inbox on a Saturday asking me to send in for Seb, a recurring role that like of a boy who gets cast as Sharpay in the musical. And I was like, what is this? And then I kind of just did it. And then less than a week later, literally on the Wednesday following that Saturday, I got the email that I was chosen. And then I literally flew out that Friday and started filming on that Saturday. So like
wow.
A week after I got that self-tape request for Seb, I was filming for Seb.
Did you have to go there for prolonged periods of time, or did you go there like just have to pack your life up and then just go there within the week?
Kinda. But it was also like, you know, it was like never over 2 weeks, and sometimes it was literally like a 2-day shoot. So like I know in episode 4 I'm only in like one scene, and I remember that weekend I literally just like flew out on a Friday and came back on a Monday, and it was such a quick trip. But it was a lot of that, and it was kind of like difficult just like mentally, like where am I right now, and like what am I focusing on. But it really was like a dream. So and I'm honestly so thankful that like my professors were able to like work with me and let me finish my year as a full-time student while going back and forth and missing things all the time.
Flexible sure. Professors and teachers are the best for
they
talent.
Are yes
that must be so tiring, like it's even if it was just for 2 days, you're going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. That's a huge sacrifice.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And just like flying and going, and there's a time difference and.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's not like a short flight either, but they took good care of me. I was very happy.
That's awesome.
And honestly, a lot of season one was shot after school ended. Like if you guys watched, I think you did. season one, Seb doesn't really come in a lot until like halfway through the season. And when that all started happening, that was after classes ended. So it was like in my summer. So it actually was pretty okay.
It worked out. That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
How long does like a season normally take to film?
I think our season was like 5 months last year.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was 10 episodes.
That makes sense. That's pretty. I think universal in the business.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Sounds about right.
Do you mind if I ask, like, what kind of transpired that you were kind of promoted, I guess you could say, to a series regular on the show?
To be honest,
it's
like,
because he's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, did you know that it was like coming?
I didn't. I'll explain. So the way it was told to me was that it was just a recurring character. He might be in like 2-3 episodes. And I remember we were in the middle of shooting the Thanksgiving episode, and Tim actually pulled me aside and was like, "Hey, I just want you to know, like, I'm really proud of you. Like, you really were not supposed to be in this many episodes, but whatever you're doing, we like, and we just keep writing you into more episodes." And I was like, "Well, thank you. I don't know what I'm doing either, but I'm happy to be here." And I was just having a good time with everyone. And then I remember we were all hanging out as a cast a lot, like when we weren't filming in Salt Lake, because there's no one else in Salt Lake City. it's not like we're like in LA or New York where you have like friends, but so we all just hang out with each other a lot. But I remember one night we were all hanging out, and I remember Josh was like, "If you're not a series regular next year, like, that's crazy." And I was like, "I don't know, you never want to jump to conclusions or be expecting anything, because you don't want to be let down." But I had a feeling it might happen, just because I ended up being in so much of season one. And when it did happen, I was very happy.
I couldn't imagine.
That's what happens when you're awesome and you work hard. They're going to keep writing you and stuff, and you're going to get just bigger and bigger. I mean, that's seriously Thank what you. Happens. And it also happens to genuinely nice people, and you seem like one of those.
Thank you, Cindy. I'm a huge fan, by the way. I literally saw you in Fun Home when I was in high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
My heart is so happy right now. Where were you when you got the call to like be on High School Musical?
I was in class. This is a funny story, actually. So I was in class with my friend Wilson, who was reading with me for my tapes and like helping me like late at night during college hours. Like, you literally just stay up and do whatever you need to do until you are done. And I remember we stayed up so late working on those tapes just because I wanted to make sure it was right. Because I think I just had a feeling that I could do it. I was like, I think I can do this. And I was in class with him and a bunch of other friends, but I got the email on my iPad where I was reading a play script. It was like a theater history course. The email just like, it just shows up at the top of your screen, and I like clicked on it and it came up, and I just read it, and I turned it to Wilson, and he looked at me and was like, and like grabbed my hand and just squeezed it so tight, and I just was silent because I was in class, and I should have just laughed and screamed, but
literally I was like my parents. Good for you.
I don't Jeez. know. I just was like, I mean, what, who, I shouldn't be leaving class just to, to celebrate something.
Good scholar.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. When did you call your parents? Like, how long did you know?
I called my parents as soon as I got out of class.
Oh, okay.
Like, when we were walking home, I was like, okay, I need to call my parents.
That's insane. How long did it take for it to, like, settle in? Like, was it when you called your parents?
I mean, honestly, I feel like it still hasn't settled in.
I totally understand. Like, I was about to say, did it ever?
Yeah, like, every day I feel like I am able to embrace something new about it all. But, I feel like whenever I actually, like, got to East High the first time, like, I flew in on that Saturday that I was talking about, and I was just taken right to East High for my fitting, because that's where they were filming that day. And I just remember we rolled up to East High, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm here on this show, of this franchise that I grew up, like, worshiping. I loved High School Musical growing up, so that was...
Well, that's what's so great about the series, is that, like, you have that large fan base where it's, like, not just for these young kids, it's also, like, the kids that grew up with High School Musical.
Yeah, I do love that about it. Like, yeah. Everyone can, like, find something in it, for sure.
For sure. And your role is so inspiring for everyone. Like, what's it like being a role that, you know, has that inspiration for a lot of people?
It's a little scary, honestly. Just because I know, I mean, I'm so grateful, and I would never want to be, like, I'm so honored to be playing this role. But the scary aspect that I'm talking about is just, like, you know, people, the situations and, like, the topics that I'm involved in are pretty sensitive topics to some people, just like, you know, LGBTQ plus issues are, and it's not even that Seb is ever going through issues, but, you know, I just never want to, when speaking about those issues, I never want to misspeak or offend anyone for any type of phrasing thing that I say wrong, or, you know, it's just, people are sensitive, and we have to really watch the way we use our platforms and, I don't know, send those messages out.
Absolutely.
For sure.
I'm sure Sydney could honestly speak to that as the young Allison.
I mean, actually, something that happened to me a lot in Fun Home was that I had a lot of fan encounters where, you know, people would come up to all of the cast members and say that, you know, the show inspired them and that it gave them courage. Have you ever had any fan encounters like that where people have maybe DM'd you or they have stopped you on the street and told you how much your work has meant to them?
And that really is so special. It's so fulfilling. And it makes you, I don't know, it makes you really realize how powerful it is, like, what you are doing just by existing, almost. Right. And just to, like, tell that story.
Absolutely.
So that person can see it and relate to it. I don't know. It's just such a crazy thing what we do.
Yeah, right.
It really is.
And also, when you have a platform, it's super important to use it for good, and that's exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
So, amazing job.
I'm so proud.
You're doing an incredible job.
That's my
best
friend. I want to keep doing it. You have to, like, find the... And honestly, I have to say, like, I learned so much from watching the kids around me on the show that have been doing this for a little bit longer than I have, like Sophia Wiley and Olivia Rodrigo. They are so active in speaking for good causes and pushing positive messages out there to their followers. And I want to kind of, like, take what they do and find my own way into that, if that
for
makes
sure.
sense.
I know that was one of the questions I had for you, actually, like, because I know you were a big fan of Kate Renders. Is that how you say it?
Oh, my God. Kate Renders, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, I knew you were, like, such a big fan of her, and then you were, like, able to work with her. Like, that must be so cool.
Yeah, I mean, of course. She was one of the first people I actually met when I got to set, and she was so sweet right away. And she always says that I could be her and Tim's son because I was, like, both of them, like, a version of both of them. So she always calls me, she always says, "You are my son." And I'm so proud of her. She's, like, the sweetest, like, mama bear that we all have in the cast. It's, like, a really great environment.
That's awesome. It seems like a family. You can, like, tell when you're watching it that you guys are all so close, and it's so special.
Thank you. That means a lot. I'm glad that is shown. I don't know how to say that. I'm glad that that is exhibited.
How we portray it. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. I'm glad you're able to see that.
That's how it's seen. Absolutely. It's actually very lucky whenever you come onto a show and you basically luck out with the most fantastic cast members that they become your family. How instant, when you first came on set, how instant was that kind of click? And also, when I don't quite remember which episode was your first episode. Didn't you come in, like, when in the series?
I was in the first episode, but I was just seen. I was not heard. So she says, like, oh, okay. You're reading for Ryan, right? And then Carlo says, I think he'd rather read for Sharpay. And then I just smile. and then I'm also seen, like, at a lunch table gossiping with Natalie Bagley about Nene and EJ and Ricky, the love triangle. but I first speak in episode two. But I feel like the first time I felt that click was, well, we have, like I said, we hang out outside of filming and we have, like, game nights. And I think it was, like, the last day of... we had just, I think we wrapped the pilot, I think. And we all went over to Matt's apartment complex and hung out in the clubhouse and just, like, played card games. And while, I think it was while the Grammys or, like, the Oscars were on. And so, like, we had that on in the background. We were just, like, playing games. And I was like, oh, wow, this is, like, a really cool group of people. And a cool group of people that, like, cares about each other and wants to make sure that everyone's feeling included and having a good time. And I was like, wow, I'm a part of this. And now, like, now being a series regular, like, I get so excited when guests come on the show. We've had a few already this season, and, like, you know, I love seeing how everyone makes them feel welcome and feel like they're a part of the show. And it's been really awesome. It's a really good group of people. I feel like we really, like, hit the lottery.
Absolutely.
With this
That's
cast.
Awesome. It makes the experience better, and it makes the show itself better, too, because, like I said, you can totally see it.
Yeah, because you can see that chemistry.
Thanks. Thank you. I think Disney knows what they're doing, but also, for sure. Tim Federle and everyone.
King.
King. Icon. Tim Federle.
Icon.
Yeah. Literally, I feel like I would not be doing what I'm doing if it wasn't for him. He's like,
well, I literally said that about you in the last episode.
Are you serious?
I swear to God.
Eli.
No, literally. That's what I mean. Like, you were literally the first person that I was able to, like, look up to, and you were in the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang with Tessie.
Oh my
god. Yeah, and so we were like, we didn't know what to do.
Wait,
yeah,
I wasn't a kid though. I was like,
he was like the orphan, right?
Wait, how old are you?
I was, I don't even know. Like, that was like such a blip of time because it was such a short run, and it was all these kids that I had never met before. Like, so basically, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, the tour, when they would come to cities, they would audition local kids to be the orphans in that, like, teamwork number, and then, like, at the end of the show. So we literally weren't called. We, like, learned the show, our track, in a day, and then we would do the show for, like, that Pittsburgh run, and that was it. So I, like, met Tessie for, like, this time period, and then she actually started taking classes where I took classes because we got to be friends. And
yeah,
then
that was all from you and your family and your mom. Like, they helped. Because I saw Chitty Chitty Bang Bang similar to you. Like, I saw Tessie in a show and was like, I want to try it. And then my mom talked to your parents and, like, you guys helped us out. And literally without CLO or you guys, none of us would be in New York. Like, we wouldn't be where we are.
That means a lot. I'm so glad that that happened.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
What a wild thing.
Me too.
You guys have a very you guys have a very similar coming into the business story. And you guys also look very similar, especially with the glasses. I'm so sorry. Are you guys, like, long siblings?
I mean, we should be, because, like...
But also, like, once you went to New York and you started, like, going on to do bigger and better things, like, than Pittsburgh, I remember, like, being like, oh my gosh, like, it feels like yesterday he was six and he was playing Tiny Tim, and I was, like, lecturing him backstage about how to behave. Like, oh my gosh. And now you're, like, a Broadway star.
I mean, I still feel like I am that six-year-old because I haven't matured. But no, but it's serious because, like, when Joey and I, he was playing Tiny Tim for all those years, and then I stepped in, but he played my older brother at the same time because he was getting, like, too big for Tiny Tim because we had to go on an old guy's shoulder, no offense. and he, like, was the biggest help, like, because he had done the track for so many years that when I was in, he literally just was like, no. He, like, picked me up and, like,
but also, you were also, like, eager to learn. Like, you were.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Like, it was very, I don't know. We got along so well. We really were, like, brothers that year.
For sure.
Yeah.
Aw, that is so sweet. Oh,
I love him.
You have done a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've done Christmas Carol, you've done Peter Pan, you've done Les Mis, you've done...
How do you know all this?
You've done The Sound of Music, you've done Into the... Research! I have to ask, first of all, kind of two questions. Was theater kind of your first love? And second of all, now that you've done both theater and TV show... Do you have a preference? I mean, I know High School Musical is a musical kind of TV show. But do you have a preference?
She wants to choose wisely.
no
so, pressure.
No. I mean, I would say completely that theater is my first love. I was actually thinking that last night I was watching the Sondheim birthday celebration. I don't know if you guys tuned in. But it was like, it was like all of these idols of mine that I've been watching on YouTube since I can literally remember, just like, you know, I don't know, I'm not gonna get too into it, but it was just such an amazing event, like, and I couldn't believe how well it was put together and all these people, I don't know, it was just so miraculous. And I woke up today and I think it has to do with the fact that I like watched it right before I went to bed, and I was like, wow, like, that is such a special community and such a special theater is unlike anything else, I think. I don't know. It's
when I think amazing. That's what's so special about this High School Musical, the musical, the series, is because you get a taste of both of that. And like you were saying, you have those people the theater community that are just so special. And in a way, you guys are a theater community. Like,
kind
of. Yeah, I mean, in a way.
In a way, yeah, for sure. And I think that's like my favorite part about our show is that we are celebrating how theater finds its way into people's lives and almost like saves them in a way. I feel like it saves Seb in a way because he wants to express himself in this way of playing Sharpay, and he gets to, and now he's in the drama club with all these new friends. And oh, it's that scene in episode 3 where Carlos comes in and delivers his coffee to Miss Jen. And Mr. Mazar is like, why don't you hang out with kids your own age? And Miss Jen just like eats him alive with her words and just saying like, look, like he may be weird. And a lot of these kids in that room are weird, but it's their weirdness that makes them who they are. And the fact that they have found this tribe and they all have like 16 new friends. I don't remember the line at all, but it's like, you know, you find your tribe in the, I don't know, like it, I feel like it saved my life, and I feel like it's, we're showing how it saves people's lives on our show as well. It's one of my favorite things. Anyway, the question you asked, we're getting way off topic. I think I definitely still want to be on Broadway. Right now that dream feels like distant because Broadway's closed. but I definitely still want to be on Broadway at some point in my career. But I also am grateful that I've been introduced to television and film, because I kind of just didn't think that it was a thing I could do. I just, I don't know. I theater was the first love. And now that I'm on this TV show where I get to live the best of both worlds doing theater and television, I'm definitely more interested in more television and in keeping to explore, continuing to explore that route. But
sure.
For sure. There's something so, so magical that you can't really explain about theater. It really just comes, it, I don't know, you know that, I don't know, I don't even know what I'm talking about, but I think you know what I mean. Anyone?
It's live. You know what I mean? It's in the moment. It's not. It didn't happen months ago, and then you're just watching it like months later on the television. Like, I don't know. When I watch myself on the show, I'm like, I like barely remember shooting that. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah. But
definitely.
I don't know. There are definitely pros and cons to both, for sure.
Definitely.
I mean, granted, they are very different.
Yeah.
When you think about it, there's so many differences. Like, it's you know, to ask, like, which one do you like better is kind of like asking, do you like painting or cooking better?
That's so true.
Like,
I completely agree.
Do you mind if I ask, like, if you find a difference between, like, the acting side of both TV and, like, theater?
I mean, yes, everyone. That's a pretty, I feel like I've known that, like, yes, there's a difference.
Yeah.
But I also have found that, like, the style of the show can change the style of the acting. So, like, I feel like our show is pretty, like, deadpan because of the way it's shot with, like, the confessionals and the talking heads and the looks to the camera. So it's a little more straightforward, kind of like The Office. But then there are, like, heightened moments, you know.
It's like your theatrical TV show.
Yeah, yeah. And I've also been watching, like, The Good Place. I don't know if you guys watch The Good Place.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Kristen Bell. But
oh, my God.
She's so theatrical, you know what I mean? And I love it.
Has she been on Broadway? She should come on Broadway.
I think she was. Like, I think that's where she started. I don't know.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I know Kate Reinders either understudied her or she understudied Kate Reinders in, like, I don't want to say it wrong, but a show on Broadway. We should do some
research
and look it up. But yeah, she did. I think she was on Broadway. But yeah, she's amazing. I like,
think she was.
Love her.
Too.
Yeah.
She was. I think she was in The Adventures of Tom Sawyer and The Crucible.
Yo.
In 2001 and 2002. So that was before I was born. So. I'm just saying, like, I have a reason for not knowing.
Yeah.
That's incredible. If I could say, she needs to come back to Broadway. That
I know, I was
incredible.
Just going to say, she needs to come back. She's amazing.
For sure.
Oh my gosh.
Joe, when you started singing on High School Musical, because I haven't seen you for, like, 4 years, yeah, like, 5 years, whatever.
I know, too.
You started singing, and I was like, what? Because, like, I've heard, like, stories from, like, Zach and Tessie, because they were your age group for the classes and stuff, of, like, your voice change and stuff like that. Like, how did you, like, go through it?
Really good voice teacher.
That's amazing.
And I feel like I going through voice change is hard. Because you, especially, like, if you are a child actor, and I know both of you were, so, like, you get so used to navigating this singing and, like, loving it and falling in love with your own voice. And then you go, it changes, like, before your eyes, and you don't even, like, know how to sing for a few years, or I don't know, years or months. But when I look back on mine, it feels like it was seamless. And I think that's just due to, like, my really great voice teacher in Pittsburgh, Kim Steinhauer. But she does ESTO voice training, which I think, like, the New York person who does that is Joan Leder. I don't know if you guys know her, but anyway, I remember it was in Oliver was, like, the cusp, like that was the end of that voice. And that was 2010 and I was 12. And then after that, my voice changed pretty quickly. And it was hard, but I think, yeah, just learning to how to use your new voice, and then also, like, learning to love it again. Because there was a time when I was like, I hate this. I don't sound like myself. I don't like my voice. And then, you know.
I still have those moments.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But and still today, I do.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're all, like, our worst critics. But, like,
right.
I don't know. I find myself still having to listen to my voice and be like, okay, I like that. I do like my voice. So you have to love your voice, or you
right.
will just destroy yourself.
Yeah, but I also think it's like about acceptance, because you have this thing that has gotten you jobs for so long, and all of a sudden, just overnight, it's taken away from you just immediately. And I think it's about kind of, I guess, almost forgiving that and just accepting that and being like, well, this is just, I just have to take what I have, and I gotta, you know, figure out how to use it to its absolute best potential.
Yep. Couldn't have put it better myself.
For sure. And you've done that.
My voice, like, changed when I was, like, 14 or 15, so, like, it's still very new to me, and I'm, like, still going through the phase.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's hard. It's a hard time, but...
For sure.
I promise you'll come out on the other side with a beautiful voice.
I hope so. It's be over soon.
That was another little older brother moment.
Oh,
don't worry, it's gonna be okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone goes through it. That's the thing. But I remember watching videos of you and Trevor, and was like, "How has his voice not changed yet?" I was like, "He's getting older."
Joe, I gotta tell you, literally the next day, I woke up after closing, and it was cracking like crazy.
So it was for Oliver. It was
totally my
Oliver was for me.
But it was so interesting because literally, it's funny, after the show, my director came up to me and was like, I have to say, I was sitting in the audience because I was 14 years old and they knew that it was going to come. Mm-hmm. And so he was sitting in the audience and he was like, I was pretty much praying the entire night hoping
that
your voice
wouldn't
crack. No, yeah, because he knows, like, that was such a big fear of mine. Aww. And, like, thank God through the entire process of Trevor, it, like, never cracked once. But the next day, I woke up, and it was just, like, changing.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Insane. And the thing is, Eli had an incredibly super, super high voice. Like,
he was belting.
100% through we went to the same middle school together through like 6th grade to 8th grade, and then we you know did the freshman year of high school together, and he had the highest it's a performing arts middle school, so we had to do kind of like chorus and choir and whatever. And he was the highest soprano out of everyone, not boys, girls, and everyone alike. It's insane. He had like the top chair of the sopranos. He had the most insane high voice. And I genuinely remember saying, I cannot imagine Eli with a changed voice.
Well, I know. When I literally got on this call, I was like, Eli, your voice. This is crazy.
It's so funny that you say that, because last night Zach, my brother, put up a picture of me when I was like 14, and like I was on FaceTime, and just the people on FaceTime are just like making fun of me because that was me in freshman year. Like they were like, all of these guys were like 6 foot masculine men, and I'm like there, my baby face, and I'm like.
Yep. Yeah, I've been there. I still been there.
Yeah. But it's good. It's worth it in the end.
Oh yeah. I mean, I would not be on a high school show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I love that though.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
I had a ring of keys moment, so sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Talk to me. Okay, so this is going back to what Sydney said. You've been in countless of shows in Pittsburgh, Into the Woods, Peter Pan, Music Man. We're selling you. talk to me what it was like about... well, this is, I can relate. talk to me about Peter Pan and working with Kathy Rigby.
Oh my gosh. I mean, that was so long ago. I was 10 years old. But she was amazing. I was just so excited to fly. I had never flown, obviously. No one flies ever. but they, she was amazing. Obviously, like, she'd been doing the show forever. So it was really cool to be in that process with her. And there actually was so many people in that show that are now, like, on Broadway. At least, like, actually the only one I'm thinking of right now is Kyle Brown, who's in Moulin Rouge. But, like, it's so fun seeing the people that I worked with, and you probably feel this too, that, like, when you worked with at a young age and now, and then you get to go see them on Broadway as an adult, and you're like, this is wild. I don't know. It's just crazy. We all just do so many different things with our lives, and your paths cross differently. And
it's so true. It's such a small community.
Yeah. It really
is. It's crazy, but it's so, it makes you so happy, like, when you see, like, friends doing well.
Yeah, I remember, like, I didn't get to see you in Finding Neverland, but I remember, like, I had just seen Hamilton, and I think it was across the street.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we came over to your stage door just to find you and say hi. It was me and Trent.
Yeah, I was just going to say you were with Trent.
Yes.
We want to get him on soon.
Oh, yeah. He's wonderful. That's, Trent is my childhood best friend, basically. And then
Jen
yes, Jen Swister.
Margaritaville tour. Pace University.
But we came and said hello to you, and we, like, walked you to your train, and it was so
cute
to see you.
Yeah, I miss you guys.
I know, I miss you too.
I'm so happy we did this, though. This is, like, so nice.
I know, I love this.
Yeah, I know.
I have
Sydney.
You were
gonna say something. Yeah,
I have a question. Do you want to do illicit?
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Sorry,
sure.
This is probably so mysterious.
It is mysterious.
We've never done this before.
We've never done this before. You would be the first person to, if you want to, Eli, if you want to kind of set it up, I'll try and find, like, the best one.
Sure.
Like, explain what
okay.
It is.
So Sydney and I were trying to figure out names for our podcast. Believe it or not, it was really hard.
I believe it.
And we were, like, we had a phase where we were just trying to, like, combine our names into something, like, fun. And her mom came up with the word illicit, and it's like Eli Sid in a way.
Oh.
So, but, like, that means, like, randomly fast, like, things, right? And so we were like, what if we did, like, questions and as, like, a segment in the podcast.
Oh, crap.
So we did, like, Instagram pools of, like, and people sent us questions. So if you're down, we would love to have to ask some questions.
Sure, ask me some questions.
Okay.
Is it like, this speedy one, so I have to answer fast?
I guess so. I mean,
we can
you
make
know,
it speedy. It doesn't have
to
be.
If you want to.
Okay. I just wasn't sure
okay,
the rules.
Okay, so this one, I actually quite find an interesting question. I'm actually very interested myself. Do you have any cool backstage stories from anything that you've done, whether it be mishaps or just, I don't know, anything, absolutely anything?
Okay.
We will cut this entire thing out. Then I'll move on to another question. You did? Okay, go ahead.
When I was in Sweet Charity at Michigan, I was in the ensemble. I was a featured ensemble member. Thank you very much, Michigan.
Yes.
there was a fire alarm set off in the middle of the show. So I remember I was in the dressing room. I wasn't on stage, but there were people that were on stage dancing to There's Gotta Be Something Better Than This, that number. And
okay, boys.
I remember they were I remember I was in the dressing room and I saw the lights flashing and I was like, what's going on? And I went upstairs to the stage because the dressing rooms are beneath the stage. And I looked and they were indeed flashing on the stage as well, but they were still dancing. I think they were so in the moment that they didn't even notice until the curtain was just brought down in front of them while they were dancing. And then we all evacuated the theater.
Truth is.
And I remember seeing like my friend's parents that were there for the show that night outside in the rain. Like, but there was obviously no fire. We got back in eventually.
Did you finish the show?
We did. We just picked up with where that number started off. It was so That's wild, amazing. But it was very cool, honestly. Just to see how everyone like handled that situation so quickly. Because
there's something. Oh, not at all. there's something about theater people that, you know, a quote that, you know, theater has is the show must go on. Mm-hmm. And I think we all kind of really live by that. Like, no matter what, like if someone breaks their leg on stage, they're still dancing.
Yeah, and also, you know what I mean? Even just thinking about how that Sondheim celebration happened, that show still went on.
Yeah, tech, yeah.
We found a way to celebrate that man.
For sure, oh, yeah. As he deserves it.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay, here is another one. It's not entirely, I just found this an interesting question. It doesn't really have to do with acting. But, oh, by the way, all of these are questions that were sent in by fans.
That's so crazy. I just don't, I don't know. I still think the idea of fans is so wild to me.
Me too.
It is. It really is insane. When was the first time you were like, oh my God, this isn't the question, but I'm genuinely curious. When was the first time that you're like, oh my gosh, I have fans?
There was this, I went to Disneyland with Frankie, Julia, Dara, Matt, if I'm forgetting someone, I'm so sorry, but it was a few of us from the cast, and we all were going to Disneyland just to like hang out and go to Disneyland and like have a fun time. It was right before we started season 2, so I think it was more of like a celebration in some way. But I mean, Disneyland, that's our audience. That's a very concentrated group of people all in one place that probably have watched our show or know about our show. So we were stopped so many times in the park that they actually had to call extra security for us. But it was
oh my gosh,
super fun. It was honestly so nice to actually like have faces that we could say hello to, and it wasn't just online interactions that are like sometimes weird and oh, bye, Sydney. that's weird. But yeah, that was the first time that I was like, oh wow, we really do have fans of the show.
Yeah,
and people actually do love the show and are interested in us and excited about us. That's so cool.
I know, right? Isn't it?
It is.
I refuse to like. Because I had kind of, like, a moment of where I was like, wait, I have, like, a fan. Like, when a fan account was made. Right. And I was like, this isn't real. Like, I refuse to, like, say, like, fans. Like, I'm like, they're people. They're, like,
yes.
They're theater lovers. And just like me, like, they're my friends. Like,
yeah.
And, like, interacting with them, I condone people so much for, like, reaching out to people that, like, inspire them.
Yeah.
Because if I did that, like if I saw a random celebrity,
it takes a lot
on the street,
of courage.
Yeah, like I would be so scared. But when people do, it makes you so happy that I have to like remind myself that when I see people on the streets, like they would probably appreciate it. So
I
love that.
One time I saw Lin-Manuel. He was at lunch with his dad. It was the day of the Tonys, and I think he was announcing Best Musical that night. But I was just there with my family. And we saw him and I just had to say hello. I was like, I just have to say thank you. I was with my sister and we were like, we're both in theater and we just want to say like, thank you for what you've done for the musical theater. You made musical theater cool again. And
That's
it was
amazing.
So nice.
I appreciated it. Yeah, exactly.
So sweet.
Yeah. They're all people. It's so, like, nice, too. It, like, makes you like them even more when they're so, like, humble and down to earth like
yes.
that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's important.
Okay, so next question. This doesn't really have to do with the acting business, but I thought it was an interesting question. Do you have a spirit animal? And if so, what is it?
Oh, my gosh. A spirit animal. Actually, fun story. When I was in, when we all got accepted into Michigan, you know, there are class group chats formed so that you can all get to know each other before you actually get to school, because of course we're extra and we need to do that. and of course, social media just allows for it. So, there was this one, my one classmate, Lauren Hobbs, she's going to be a star. She assigned everyone animals that she thought that they encapsulated as their being, and mine was a sea otter, which I have to say I kind of agree with. Every time I see a sea otter, I'm like, oh, it's me. Like, I love sea otters now.
It's me. Oh my gosh,
Sydney, do you have fun
to see that? Yeah, mine for the longest time has been a monkey.
I can see that.
Okay.
Wait, Eli? I feel weird for saying, oh, I see that.
A sea otter. I mean, how do you see a spirit animal? Okay, come on.
I mean, people say I look like a monkey all the time because I have really big ears and everything. But that's okay. That's beside the point. Hey, don't get any ideas. She always bullies me, so I don't need more topics for her to bully me about.
Says you.
I'm kidding. Do you
think monkey for Eli?
For Eli?
What do we think for Eli?
I feel like monkeys are crazier in terms of energy. I feel like Eli has
that
it
was a compliment. You know what I mean?
Listen, at least I fooled someone. I'll take that. That's a compliment. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. I don't know what animal, though, it is. I feel like it's for you to decide.
Yeah. You know what? I agree. Because it's all about your soul.
Mm-hmm. It's your spirit.
Yeah. It's less about what you look like.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I do feel like I am an otter in some way.
That's so funny that someone kind of just gave you that and you were like, wow, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and now she sends me videos of otters that she finds on Instagram.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yes, and they always brighten my day.
Yeah.
What traits of an otter do you think you typify? Are there any specific traits?
Look at these big words.
Look, she's really trying to get me to talk about this.
What? No, it's interesting because I don't know any character traits of otters.
I don't know if I do either, other than the fact that they're adorable.
There you go.
He's right. And, no problem.
Wouldn't you want to be adorable too? And they like to swim. Mm. And I like to swim.
You like to swim?
I do. It's not my favorite thing to do, but it's a fun thing to do in the summer for sure. I love to be in water.
Yeah.
I sound like a crazy person.
No, literally me too. And like my pool is like closed down for the summer. And like I take like hour showers and baths and I love the water.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Oh, this is a question that is my own personal question. It's not even part of this list, I don't think. What is your zodiac sign? Because I'm curious to know.
Oh, I'm an Aquarius.
I thought so.
You're an Aquarius?
Yes, with the Scorpio moon. Yes.
With the Scorpio, do you know your rising?
I don't think
Sydney's big into that.
I probably do in CoStar. It's probably in there.
We love CoStar.
I could literally check in an instant if
there
I still have the app.
Okay, so you have an air sun, you have a water moon.
Look at her. She's obsessed with this stuff.
Exploding.
I'm not that Sydney, obsessed, but I just
Sydney's
find it so
mom
cool.
has like a whole collection about like research on the zodiacs.
Oh yeah.
Oh, my rising is Scorpio as well.
Your rising is Scorpio, so you're like a double Scorpio. That's awesome. That's really cool, actually.
No. Oh my god, I have like daily updates from CoStar, and they're always like spot on.
Yeah.
It's like scary.
I just don't know if I trust it. I'm like, doesn't this just work for everyone?
That is completely fair. Completely fair.
But then, like you said, sometimes you read it and you're like, this is oddly specific to my current situation. So yeah. I don't know. I think if it works for you, it works for you. But
yeah, for sure. This is an interesting one. What is the number one thing on your bucket list?
Ooh.
Out of everything.
I want to be on Broadway.
You want to be on Broadway?
Yeah. But I don't really have a bucket list per se. I would want to skydive sometime.
Oh my god, skydiving? Can I do that with you?
Yeah.
I want to do it so bad.
My mom skydived like in like the past year. I think she went skydiving, and
that's awesome.
Not young.
Stop that. What is wrong with you?
You guys
don't disrespect your mother.
No, I'm
not. I'm just kidding.
She did it.
I know. That's amazing. Yeah, my siblings and I talk about that all the time.
Skydiving?
Like, yeah, I would be absolutely terrified, but like, it's something I want to try.
Yeah, I mean, if it's an established establishment that has safety precautions and like there's a way about it, then if I know it's been done and it's safe, then I'll do it.
Sure.
Heights are my worst fear, so I do want to go skydiving because I want one of my goals in life is to like get over all my fears, but I just want to go cry in a hole every time I think about skydiving.
Oh no.
It's insane. Well, we better stop. But that means that I have to do it. So you only live once. YOLO.
YOLO
for sure. I know that's kind of died down, hasn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Joey, thank you so much for coming. We love you.
It was this my was so much pleasure fun. And honor, honestly.
Yeah, we'll have to like.
I'm a fan of both of you.
We're a big fan of you. Yeah, literally, we love you. You're inspiring so many people, and it's so great to see what you're doing. And the fact that you're able to give us your time during this craziness, like, we really appreciate it. Yeah,
of course, my pleasure.
You're the best.
You're the best. That's what I was
going to say. Oh my gosh. You guys are the best. Thank you for having me. It was an honor.
Aw, good. I'm glad. I'm glad you had fun. We'll do this again sometime, I'm sure.
All right. And then I actually want to like meet Sydney in person sometime.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Let's, like, the second this ends, let's
we'll hang out.
Yeah.
We'll go skydiving as our first thing.
Perfect.
I'm so down.
Let's do it. Let's go.
All right, cool. Well, thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Take a bow, Joey Serafini.
Woo!
We hope you guys enjoyed that interview. He gave us a lot of insightful information about, you know, his work in High School Musical and how he was balancing Michigan and stuff like that. And he told us that he was able to film before this whole pandemic began and they had to stop, but they're all like quarantining in LA. So yeah, it was really cool to learn all about that and learn about his other experiences going on.
And it was also really cool to hear his perspective about being a teenager transitioning into an adult actor, because that's currently what we're going through right now. So it was very insightful for us, and we hope it was insightful for you. Now, Eli, remember in the interview when he was talking about an alarm that went off during Sweet Charity while they were dancing? You and I actually have similar stories to that when it comes to alarms during performances.
Ah, yes, the magic of live theater.
Yes, show must go on. Well, actually, in my case, the show couldn't go on.
Yeah.
So we were in the off-Broadway run of Fun Home, and Michael Cerveris was performing Edges of the World, which is the number right before the finale. So he was performing that. I was backstage waiting in the wings because I'm in the finale with Medium Allison and Adult Allison. And all of a sudden, this alarm starts going off, like blaring through the theater, and lights start flashing. And nobody, because that's obviously not supposed to happen in the show, and nobody knows what's going on. So I run over to my wrangler and go, "What is going on?" And she goes, "I'm going to go get the boys. You run outside." Because I think at some point somebody started saying, like, "You have to, like, evacuate." Like, oh my gosh, this is like a real thing. And so I run outside. I don't even think I go and get any stuff. I legitimately run outside while my wrangler went and, you know, grabbed the boys. But we run outside through the same door that the audience members were running. Well, not the same door, but in the same kind of like alleyway that the audience members were running out of. So while we were running out of this door, some of the audience members were going, "Hey, look, the cast."
Yeah.
And it was the coldest night of the winter, and we were freezing. All I had was my costume on. I didn't even have a coat. Or maybe I did. Maybe it was my understudy suit didn't have a coat. I don't remember. It's a little bit foggy. And I run, and I think my mom may have been watching the show that night. I don't know what, but she was there. No. It was about the end of the show. She was there ready to pick me up. So I run out. And I don't know if I had my phone or not. I feel like I asked my wrangler to grab my phone. But at a certain point, the wrangler comes out with my two brothers and our two understudies for the children. And we all touch base. I think she somehow gets in contact with my mom, who has our Prius, like, ready on the side of the road. And we're like, yeah, an alarm just started going off. But we were fully expecting, okay, it's fine, because, you know, this had happened before. There was a gas leak at the Public during rehearsals for, I don't know if it was a Lab of It or the Off-Broadway, but it had happened before. So I wasn't a newbie to this alarm thing. So I was trying to, like, keep my cool. I was like, it's fine. We'll just go and we'll finish the finale, whatever. And we met up with my mom and got in the car, which she had warmed up for us because it was freezing. And I remember Janine Tesori, all of the parents, all of the kids in the show, we all packed into this tiny Prius just to warm up while everyone is standing on the side of the street. What happened was a pipe burst in, not the Public, but like the kitchen of Joe's Pub, I believe. And I was hearing stories that it was pouring out water like gallons a second, and it was really scary. But so then the fire department came. They, you know, figured it out, and then obviously, you know, we had to go in, get our stuff, and change, but I was like, oh, are we going to finish this? We ended up not finishing the show, so the people who saw it that day didn't ever get to see the finale, and we felt really bad. So what we did, can't remember if we went to go change first, but we went back into the lobby, and just kind of stood there, I think, waiting for the go-ahead that if it was going to happen, if they were going to see the finale or if they weren't going to see the finale. But when the news went out that we weren't going to finish the show, all of the Allisons got together and did like a mini performance of what the finale was going to be, because the finale is such a beautiful song. And so we did that.
And this is in the lobby of the Public, right?
This was in the lobby of the Public. And so we did that, you know, we changed, got our stuff, and went home, and that was that. And I do feel really bad for the audience, because for a lot of people, that was the only time they were going to see the show. But that's just what happens, and I'm glad, I'm so glad that everyone was safe, nobody was harmed during this. And it was certainly an experience to remember. That's just what you got to get used to, stuff like that happening. You got to be able to fly on the seat of your pants.
Yeah, I mean, I too had a similar situation. I mean, in the tour of Mary Poppins, I was in Hartford, Connecticut. I believe that's where we were. And I believe a little kid pulled the fire alarm because in the end it was a false alarm, thankfully. No, thankfully, because nothing happened like a pipe burst. Like, that stuff's scary. Like, you what you guys had to deal with, but ours was a false alarm. I was in the middle of Feed the Birds, and I will never forget it because I was like at the edge of the stage, like pretending to like throw crumbs to birds and stuff like that. And all of a sudden these lights and these sounds and everything was going on. But, you know, like I figured that like it would die down and it would pass and we could just continue. And like, I didn't think it would last.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to stay out here and I'm just going to keep doing it like and act like I don't hear it. But eventually a couple of seconds went by and I like looked to the left of me and noticed that there was no one on stage.
Wait.
Yeah. So like my cast members had already left the stage and I was still on the stage just like feeding birds because like I was just like, I don't know what to do. Like,
well, and, thanks guys for abandoning me.
I know, right? And like eventually like the house lights got like lighter so people could walk and find the entrance and stuff like that. So I could actually see people like getting up out of their seats and walking to the exit. And then I started like looking around and then I looked into the wings and apparently the entire time the stage manager was like, Eli, come here, like get off the stage. Like we have to go. We have to like hurry up. And so like similar to you, soon later we were just hanging out outside for 20 minutes in our costume with our entire cast. And like Mary Poppins, like that's a pretty big cast. So like with all of that and the audience members, like they were all taking pictures of us in our costumes because we were like, we just didn't know what was going on. So
yeah.
So I mean, like we were like, I don't know if you're allowed to, but like sure, like why not? Like we're all just standing out in the cold, so what's the difference? But yeah, it's funny that we all had like those similar stories. And I feel like when you keep doing theater and stuff like that, you experience like literally every possibility that could go wrong.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I mean, from splitting your pants to fire alarms and like people just like...
Yeah, one obviously being more dangerous than the other.
Oh, for sure.
The splitting your pants, of course.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kidding. I'm obviously kidding. No, because it's so scary.
Yeah. And to like, there was a time in Neverland, like some audience member just put a french fry on the stage. Like... It was just like, so like,
what?
You'll find just like the silliest things that will just like happen and be like, okay, like this is what's happening tonight.
It's crazy what can happen in live theater. It's not just like one story that you take away from it. There's so many things that happen in live theater. I was told by this didn't happen when I was in Funhome, but when Gabby took over for me, and I think it was that cast, there is this drunk woman who climbed through because it's very extremely easy for the audience to access backstage. All they have to do is just
kind of
go through the rails and then go off. So this drunk woman kind of climbed through the rails of where she was, went down on the stage, and just exited through the vom. And
oh my god!
Went into our green room, saw a big like vase of lollipops, and went lollipops while everyone's like, "Hey, woman, who the hell are you?"
No, I've never experienced anything like that, but I'm glad that we are like sharing our onstage or even backstage mishaps too, I guess, since that the green room's backstage.
Yeah, there's a lot more where that came from.
Oh, yeah. I mean, literally, you can probably name like any backstage mishap that you've like had in like a high school show, and I promise you it's happened on Broadway too.
Yeah, you do.
Like, literally. Yeah.
Anything from faceplants to fire alarms.
Yeah.
Face pants to fire alarms.
And to like switching roles mid show, you know.
Ooh. Yeah. No, that reminds me of a different thing, but that will be for another podcast. Tune in next week for our next very special guest. We hope you enjoyed this one and we hope you come back next week.
Yes. Next week, next Thursday, we're going to have a very special guest. I think you guys are all going to like it. He has some exciting things coming up. And I just wanted to remind the audiences that whoever's listening to, please consider donating to the Actors Fund.
Yes.
Because, I mean, we mentioned last week, Frozen closed, and there was a number that came out that actually 3,600 people came to the Actors Fund and was like, we're struggling and we need help. So any penny that you give will help so many people. And if you want to stay tuned on that, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and we'll be posting more information about it and how you can learn more about the Actors Fund itself. So yes, thank you guys.
Yes. Thank you so much. Anything counts.
Yes.
We love you and stay safe.
Bye, everyone.
See you next week.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.